I want to welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church this morning. Jackie, thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. God bless you. And we want to pray that in all that is done here and now, that the word of the Lord would minister to you and encourage you in the faith. My goal is not to sell you anything. My goal is to not impress you with some incredible knowledge of scripture and quote all kinds of verses to make you go, ooh, he really knows the Bible. That's not why I'm standing here before you. I stand here for one purpose and one purpose only. That is to make sure when you walk out of the doors of this church, you will walk out stronger than when you came in. That's my only goal. I don't care if you join us. I don't care if you hang out with us, because nobody's going to give you a call to discipleship. All we're going to do is allow you to hear what God has to say to you today. Amen. That's all we want to do. I'm going to let the Spirit handle all that stuff. Amen, because membership don't save nobody. Hallelujah. I'm a member of so-and-so. Honey, it won't get you into heaven. But we want to welcome all of you this morning. We thank God for you. I do want to extend to you a blessed Christmas, and also to ask that you pray for those for whom Christmas is not merry. Pray for those who are lonely this Christmas. Pray for those who are bitter this Christmas. There's somebody going through a divorce this Christmas. Oh, yeah. And so we need to be in prayer during this Christmas season. It's not about all of this other celebrating that is what I call false celebrating. Amen. It's just about one person, and that is Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to conclude our two-part series entitled Jesus, the Light of the World. The scripture for this passage is found in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And in verse 12, Jesus says these words. Let me just read them for you. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me say that again, because this is really saying something when Jesus says this about himself. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Or the light of life, I should say. I want us to look at the purpose of light and the power of light. Now, on last week when we entered into this series, we talked about the purpose of light. And the purpose of light is to do one thing, to reveal the truth about yourself and to reveal the truth about God. That is the purpose of light. It is not to just simply brighten up a room or to brighten up your life. It's to reveal things. It's to expose some stuff. How many of you have a skeleton in the closet? Nobody knows about it but God. Amen. And all of us have some skeletons, so there's no need to look at your neighbor and go, what you got? Just look in your own closet. You say, Pastor, I got a whole bunch of shoes and some socks and some shirts in my closet. My closet is stuffed. No, you got some skeletons in that closet as well. Amen. Hiding behind all the other stuff that you got in your closet. And you might be able to walk in church with a big old giant print Bible and look all sanctified and churchy. But only Jesus knows what's going on in the darkness of your life. Amen. Amen. And it's good to put on a suit and tie and come to church and walk into Blessed Hope and give God praise. But we want to talk about that closet. Amen. Because in that closet, God wants to make a difference. But he can only make a difference if you acknowledge what's in there. You say, well, Pastor, Jesus has not even been in my house. How do you know what's in my closet? Honey, he knew what you was putting in your closet before you even started to put it in there. Actually, he's in the closet with all that stuff, trying to show you this stuff needs to get dealt with. Amen? And when he turns that light on, yeah, and let me be very frank about it. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Jeff Forrest today. When he turns that light on, how many of you have had that light turned on, and when it showed on you, you didn't like what you saw? After you get home from church, he shines the light, and you go, wait a minute, didn't I just come from church? There were some religious folk in this passage in the Gospel of John who brought a woman who had committed a grievous sin, and we make no excuse for that. And they had stones in their hand because they were ready to just punish her because she was such a sinner. And so they began to ask Jesus for some advice on what to do with her. Amen. You say, oh, well, Pastor, she should have been stoned and this, that, and the other. Well, let's just change up again a bit. Let's not be just one-sided and just say they brought a woman who had been caught in a grievous sin. They brought a man who was hooked on something. And you could take your pick. Oh, everybody's hooked on a little something. Amen. Some of us are hooked on power. Y'all want me to say drugs, but see, y'all, see, we got some other addictions too. We got some others. Some are hooked on pride. Some are hooked on wanting to be popular. There are a lot of teenage addicts who are hooked on popularity. So everybody has some form of an addiction to some degree or another. Amen. Forget the alcohol and drugs. We know about those, but everybody's hooked on sin. Everybody is hooked on sin. You say, I don't need. Yes, you do. You need Sin Anonymous. You need to join Sinners Anonymous. Because we're all sinners according to the word of God. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some have more fun doing it than others, but we still all sinners. So what you mean, Pastor? Some have more fun than others. Can I just talk to y'all this morning? Well, let me give you an example, and maybe this might help. I learned, and sometimes I just don't need to turn on the television set. Sometimes it's just best to be at home and just be quiet. And I had several of those moments this week. I learned of a guy who spent $127 million at the casino. $127 million. You're talking about having fun and sin. And I said to myself, how did he do it? And this was the funny part. This is not the part that gets to me. It's this part I'm about to tell you. He's paid 114 of it. And he is suing for the other 13, blaming the casino for making him gamble. Well, they gave me drugs and they spiked my drink and they did this, but you was in the casino. And I look at this idea of how we can get ourselves in trouble by walking in darkness. And the goal of light, my friend, is not to show you that you're in trouble, it's to show you that you're in trouble and there is a way out. That's the purpose of light, not to just say, oh, you really messed up. It's you messed up, but here there's a fix for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a fix for that. See, when we preach the gospel, we got to preach the whole gospel. One half of it is you a mess, but the other half is there's an answer. Hallelujah. And these religious folk, back to the text, they were there with these big rocks in their hands waiting to stone the woman. And I'm sure the woman, she pretty much figured, okay, this is going to be my last day. I might as well just give up. I'm just going to go over here and stand and let them stone me. But then comes Jesus into the picture. When you invite Jesus to give you some advice, you should be really careful. He's probably not going to tell you what you want to hear. These religious folks said, Jesus, I got a stone for you too. I got two stones, Jesus. You can have this one, and I'll throw one, and you throw one. Jesus gets up, and he says something to him and says, okay, let's start throwing, but I tell you, before we do, let's take a look in the mirror. And if you don't see no sin in your life, go ahead and throw your stones. And the Bible goes on to say, and one by one, being convicted by their own conscience, they dropped their stones and they went their way. Why did Jesus answer in that way? Because the power and the purpose, rather, of light is to reveal to us what is going on in our lives, not to reveal to me what's going on in yours. Amen. Now, I want to just touch on that just for a minute. Your job is not to know my business. My job is not to know your business, because you must stand before God on your own. Amen. It is not my job to be all up in your business, because that's not going to help you. What's going to help you is seeing what God wants you to see. And that's two things. Number one, you not right. And number two, I can make you right. Hallelujah. That's the purpose of light. That is the purpose of light. To reveal to you that you have made a mistake. You have gone down the wrong path. You are headed down the wrong direction. But there is an answer. And the name of that answer is Jesus Christ. Now, after everybody had left, the only person that was standing around Jesus was the woman who was supposed to be stoned. And Jesus stands up and says, "Woman, where are all those church folk that told you you didn't have a right to be in church? Where are they at?" And the woman says, well, they're gone. And Jesus says this to the woman: because there's no one else to condemn you, I'm not going to condemn you either. But I tell you what you need to do. There's an element to this that we don't teach in church no more. Go and sin no more. See, we forgot that part. What we like to say is go. See, and we call it grace. And see, Paul had to deal with that, where he said to the Roman church, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, the point of the matter is, God doesn't save you to go back in sin, because there's plenty of grace for you. God saves you so that you will recognize the consequences of sin and not do it no more. So Jesus just didn't say, "I don't condemn you, go," but he said, "Go, comma," because he ain't done, ain't no period there. "Go, comma, and sin no more." Stop doing this. Now, if having this night out brought you to a stoning, do you want to do it again? That's the point that he's trying to make. You was up in the club and you ran to church because your life was a mess. Why would you run out of church to go back to the life that brought you in church? Why, if you did this activity, it brought you this much pain, why would you now turn around and go back to that? That's what Jesus is trying to say to the church today. If I brought you out, look where I brought you from. And don't go back to that kind of life. Why? Because you're going to end up right back where he found you the first time. Now, here's the rub. You might not make it back the next time. You might not make it back to another Sunday at church. You keep on playing, as they say. "Well, I know I'm saved, but honey, you can get in as much trouble as anybody who is unsaved. Don't you trick yourself into thinking, hey, I'm in church and I'm going to do this and then I'll repent tomorrow." You may not see tomorrow. Talking about what you're going to do tomorrow as if tomorrow is promised to you. Honey, it's not promised. Well, that brings us to the power of light. The power of light. And I'm speaking in relation to Jesus Christ, that he has the power to set you free. His light has the power to set you free. So number one, the purpose of light reveals ourselves and the truth about God. The power of light will set us free. Free from what? Guess who? You and me. It sets us free from us. Amen. Christ's light sets us free from us. How many of you ever said to yourself, "I'm my own worst enemy"? Yeah, the power of light. Jesus sets you free. Not just from your neighbor who gets on your nerves. No, but that neighbor who lives on the inside of you, between your ears. Where you find yourself doing stuff you don't want to do, Jesus has the power to set you free from that person. Now, you Bible students, y'all say, "Oh, you're talking about the old Adam." That's exactly who I'm talking about, the old you. that wants to do wrong when you know you should do right. His light has the power to set you free. Let's look at verse 12 again. It says these words, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me tell you why I love this passage. I love actually all of John chapter 8, and I encourage you to read it, because in some form or another throughout this sermon, we're quoting it and paraphrasing it rather. But let me tell you what I love about Jesus' promises. They're to anybody. There is no qualification on your part to come under the benefit of every promise that he makes. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let's look at another promise. In John chapter 3:16, he makes a promise. And it begins with these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's my favorite word in the text. That's my favorite word in that verse. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's a promise Jesus made. Well, let's look at another one. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, Jesus says, anyone who cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Who, Jesus? Anyone. Any man that cometh unto me. Well, let's look at another one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look at what Jesus says here. He that followeth me. Well, who is he? He is anybody. He is the dope dealer. He is the prostitute. He is the man who lost 127 mil. He is whoever. Whoever is willing to receive Jesus Christ and trust him by faith. That's what makes this verse so powerful. Not the fact that you can quote it. Not the fact that simply you understand it or you understand the theological components of it. But the fact that you're included. That this verse includes you. And that there's no church or denomination or preacher or bishop or so-and-so who can exclude you. You follow Jesus, hey, you're going to get what everybody else get. You mean, Pastor, I can have what you have and then some. Well, I want to know Christ like you do. Hey, well, come on with it then. Because the promise that Jesus makes for me is the same promise that applies to you. Jesus does not have a respect of persons. Consider who got saved in this saga between the religious ones and the truth that is Jesus Christ. The only one that got saved was the woman who committed the sin. I wish y'all could pick up on this. Look who got, the one who was least likely to get to glory is the only one who got saved. That's how redemption works, though, because you got folk who think that they can get to heaven on what they do. The only way to get to heaven is by faith in Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven on the law of Moses. I'm not condemning the law. It did what it was purposed to do, to give us an understanding that we need a Savior, that we cannot fulfill the righteousness of God. That was the purpose of the law. Christ fulfilled that. Now righteousness is not by the works of the flesh. Doing this, doing that, picking up a Bible, going to choir rehearsal, working and feeding the poor and this. All of that is good. But that's not walking in the light. Because good works is not a substitute for following Jesus. And there are a lot of good people, and when I say good, who do good things. They do a lot of great things in the community. They provide resources. They reach out to others. But that doesn't mean they're walking in the light. Because to walk in the light is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, before we get into that, what does it mean to walk in darkness? That is to live your life in isolation to God. Y'all hear that? To walk in darkness is to live your life in isolation to God. It is as if you've put yourself in what they call confinement. And I'm talking about that kind of prison confinement in which nobody gets to you and you can get to nobody. And here's the problem. You don't have a key. That's what it means to walk in darkness. It is to be without God. And let me tell you, everybody who has attempted to live life on their own terms have lived to regret that decision. You can go to Google and Yahoo. You can go to CNN. Go to the media and you will find a trail of dead bodies, a trail of broken pastors, a trail of messed up celebrities, a trail of fallen politicians who said, I don't need Jesus, I'm gonna live on my terms. And every time, and then you say, well, Pastor, you're right. Well, add your name. See, the only difference between them and you is that nobody knows you. Y'all not here this morning. Y'all I'm trying to get you out of the mall just to come here and hear me just a few more minutes. I know that Macy's got a 25% off in addition to the other 25% with the 10% that you get if you get a credit card. I know that, but give me just a few more minutes of your time. One of my colleagues walked up to me and said, well, Jeff, just want you to know, man, I respect you and all of this, and here, Macy's. That's how I know that. Here's a coupon, because I don't shop. I said, well, neither do I. But listen to me very carefully. When you live life on your terms, you end up just like the woman who was caught in the crime that she committed. And all you have to do in the text in John chapter 8 is put your name in there. That's all you got to do. When those religious rulers said, Jesus, we have found a woman caught in such and such in the very act. Just scratch her name out and say, we found Jeff Forrest. We found Brother Michael. We found Bishop so-and-so. We found Congressman so-and-so. We found Penny. We found Curtis. We found George. We found Bernard. We found Betty, Sam, and Lita, and LaQuisha. We found, you could just put whoever name in front of woman, because see, you have to understand something. That to walk in darkness is you living life on your terms. You the boss, you on the throne, you make the rules, you write the lyrics, and you sing the song, and you produce and distribute the record. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all didn't understand that entertainment lingo. But what happened when the song don't do nothing? You done put your name all over it. Same thing with your life. You lived it on your terms and said, this is my life, signed, Pastor J.P. Forrest. Oops. Somebody read between the lines. And you got to understand something. When you look at your life that you wrote, you writing your own autobiography. Get Jesus. I don't need him. Yeah, and I was with this. And yeah, that other night. And then it's time to pay. Then you got to pay up. There's an old song that just some of y'all, you got to be an old school person to know this though, so forgive me, young people. But there's an old school song, and you can Google this or iTunes it. It says, if you dance to the music, don't you know you got to pay to the piper, ask your mama. I don't want to misquote the lyrics. I don't want to get wrote up for misquoting the song. Parents, play it to your children when you get home, but they'll Google it. They'll Google it. You cannot continue in this lifestyle of darkness and isolation with God and then expect to come out on top. You're not, there's no such thing as inconsequential sin. And this idea that you can go on television and you can watch people engage in things that they should not do, and yet they seem to be just as happy, that's called a myth. Somebody wrote a script to say that, but that's not the truth. That's you're just looking at an actor. That's why they're acting, because that's not reality. They're being paid to do something. They say these words, and then this person will say this, and you all will go into the bedroom and do this, although you're not married, but you will be happy. Now make sure that you follow the director. That's called a play, an act. Pastor, it sounds like you just giving me your opinion. Well, let me give you somebody else's opinion. Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin. For the wages, the consequences of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, that's just in Romans. That's just in the New Testament. How about the Old? How about Proverbs 14? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Young people, you're listening. There is a way, but that seemeth right unto a man. Can you finish it for me? But the end thereof is the way of that seemeth right. But I want to just see. This is me. This is why I love the Bible so much, because I love to personalize it. There is a woman who seemeth right to a man. There's a man who seemeth right. See. Wait until I say, can I get a little help? That was before the cue. Can I get a little help? See, it seemed right. There's a boyfriend that seemeth right. Emphasis on boy. Emphasis on boy. Emphasis on boy. 30 something. We still emphasizing. Seemeth right. Seemeth right. My God in heaven. And here's the rub. It appears that our goal in preaching to you is to make your life miserable when it is to save the life you got. Because nobody's trying to keep you out of a casino or keep you from drinking. We're trying to keep you from messing up your life. And the smartest person in the world is the person that looks at a train wreck that somebody made of their own lives. And then go, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that. That's the smartest person in the world. When you look at Jeff Forrest and he takes you aside, young people, and say, let me tell you some things that messed me up when I was your age. I did this. And then you go, uh-uh. But let me tell you about the dumbest. Let me tell you about the dumbest person. The dumbest person will look at this billionaire who messed up his life and go, yeah, but I'm not him. It's when my children say, and yeah, Dad, but you weren't smart enough. That won't happen to me. That's the dumbest person. Yeah, but see, that's you. Watch me do it. Watch me. I'm going to show you how to get away with it. Well, as you do that, let me just give you another verse out of the Bible. Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. Just for good measure, young people, especially since you feel that you're smarter than all of us, and it won't catch up with you. Let me just give you some old wisdom out of the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not to be made a fool of. God is not to be made a fool of. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now it goes on. There's some more stuff to that. If we sow according to the flesh, we will reap ruin or corruption. We'll mess up our lives. But if we sow spiritual seed, we'll reap a harvest of blessing. But don't be deceived. Well, you know, so-and-so, he just didn't play his cards right. Honey, learn, look and learn. Look and learn. You see somebody and they walking around all big and bad, and then they come and they're all messed up and they tell you how? Take notes. You don't go out and go, I'm going to try it and I'm going to show him I could. Have you lost your mind? That's the trick of the devil. See, that's the trick of the devil. That's all it is a trick of the enemy. Now, I'm going to give you a little more advice, and then we're going to wrap some things up here in terms of this power to set you free and how his power makes you free. If you are going through life, and again, I want to appeal to my young people, my college students and others, you need a friend. You either need three kinds of friends or a friend who has these three qualities. You either need three kinds of friends or a friend who has these three qualities. Number one, you need a friend who can't be bought or sold. Amen. They won't turn over your business for no reason. You can tell a secret, they'll die with it. That's your best friend. Your best friend is the one that you can tell your greatest secret to. You see them 30 years later, they still got your secret. Only three people know it: you, them, and God. That's the first kind of friend. Call that person your best friend equals can keep a secret and will die with it. Your second friend or the second person, they will tell you when you're wrong. They will confront you, they will deal with you, and they are willing to allow the relationship to just go away if you aren't willing to change. You need somebody to get in your face and say, no more. Unacceptable. You must change. You killing yourself, but you won't kill me. That's called, no, let's make sure we don't understand who this is. That's not a critic. That's called a lifesaver. That's called a lifesaver. Somebody who will tell you when you're wrong. And you already know it. You just don't like being told. They won't let you hide. They're going to deal with you. That's called a friend. That's your second best friend. That's your second best friend. Here's your third one. They love you in as is condition. Unconditional. You ain't got to work up to be around them. They love you. Flaws and all. Now they trying to get you to challenge you to be better, but don't think they gonna walk out on you. But they love you. You get those kind of people in your life, you will succeed in life. You will succeed in your life. Amen. Because relationships and decisions that we make can cost us big time. Amen. You know, Pastor, I don't even understand you. You 50, you don't know. Let me ask you this. If you dating a young person and you in college and they're not, you will flunk out. Let's start with that. Do you like A's or F's? Let's start with that. Because if they don't have a job and they're at home watching MTB and MB, I don't, what is it? BET, all of that, and they paging you. You in my class with your phone, then who's learning? Who's challenging you to get an A or a B or to do the best that you can? You want people in your life who will not accept status quo from you, but they will challenge you and they will love you in as is condition. You don't have to earn their love. Door's always open. A little food on the table if you need it. Because they care about you. Let's move on to Jesus, light of the world, the power to set you free. Jesus says to the woman, go and sin no more. How is he able to do it? Because God has invested him with the authority. Jesus is the only one who has the legal right from God to tell you you're free. And God says, and you are free. In other words, let me put it this way. Let's put some scripture to it. In the book of Romans, chapter 8. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, I need somebody to get with me in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to tell you how Jesus, as the light of the world, has the power to set you free. Romans chapter 8. And I just want to put a little bit of scripture on this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen to what it says here in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then this is the verse I want you to get in your spirit. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If Jesus says you're free, his word to you carries the authority of heaven. So Paul looks at that theological theme and says, so who can say that because you still dibble or dabble a little bit, you're not going to make it in? Hey, wait a minute. God has already set you free. Why? Because he who the Son sets free is free for all time. Well, I know I'm not living the way God called me to live. That don't mean you're going to hell. It only means you're going through it. Because understand something, if you want to play on both sides of the fence and be in church knowing that you are saved positionally and that the light and power of God has set you free and then kind of mess around in the dark, you go reap that. That's not a winning strategy. But don't ever think that God gives up on you because you can't put aside this habit or you can't walk away from this lifestyle that God said, I quit. When he's already redeemed you, why would he redeem you forever? Look who look what the price he paid. Jesus Christ died, rather rose from the dead to give you life. After all he paid to buy you, would he now throw you away? That's how the power of light sets you free. It has the divine authority. It is sanctioned by heaven. When Jesus said you free, you don't go, really? No, you are free. I don't feel free. He ain't asking you to feel it. He's asking you to believe it. But he's not saying, well, how do you feel now? He didn't give you a pill. He gave you life. And you walk in that freedom. You say, well, Pastor, I'm so sick and tired. Now I want to just deal with some folk. And I know where you are, and I'm speaking of myself as well. And I've been down this path. I'm just tired of the roller coaster. Y'all know what the roller coaster, that Christian roller coaster? You up, feeling good. Then before you know it, by Wednesday, you down and back to your old thing. I want to talk to you today. Number one, the God who was with you when you was up, he is at the same place when you down here. He has not moved. You moved. Amen. You moved. But he has not moved and he will not move. And your mess cannot move him from your life. You will lose your mind before you lose your salvation. Because of the power of light, once it makes you free, you are free forever. You'll lose your family. Yeah, you can lose that. Lose your job. Lose your health. You can lose your mind. You can lose a lot of stuff, but you will never, ever lose God. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. The power of light will set you free. Free from what? No, 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 no. Not free from what? Who? Free from you. Will it keep me free if you let it? That gets to the second part of that verse where he said, he that walketh after me will have the light of life. You got to follow it. See, but if you go jump in the light, hey, and then go run back to that dark basement. Amen. Amen. Well, it didn't work. No, no, you didn't work it. Hallelujah, you didn't work it. Don't blame Jesus. Don't say, I got saved about 3 or 4 times. No, you didn't. You ain't never got saved. You didn't get saved. Man, I tried Islam, I tried Hinduism, then I went and tried this Christianity. They're all the same. You didn't try Christianity. Amen. You didn't try Jesus. Because once he sets you free, you'll never be the same. How do I know? 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, I don't need that verse because I know I'm saved. Well, how about this one? 1 John 1:9. This will fit. Yeah. Your feet couldn't fit into that other verse, you know. Amen. See, couldn't wear it. Ooh, that shoe too tight. This one will fit. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. We're talking to the saints now. See, since that other shoe, it was kind of tight. Man, pastor, this shoe, get it off me. This shoe will work for you. If we confess our sins, me too. He, God, is faithful and just. That means fair, trustworthy. To do what? Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the God we serve, folks. That's the gospel that we preach. It's the gospel that sets men free. It doesn't bind you and guilt trip you. It releases you from you. So that when people come into your path, you know what? Live like you're free of them. Amen. When situations become overwhelming, you've got to remember, I've been set free. You are free to overcome every issue in your life. Don't you ever say, this is too big. Amen. When God is in your life. Don't ever say, I'm not going to make it. Oh, yes, you will. Why? Because he who has begun a good work in you, he will get that job done. Oh, I just don't know. Well, know that you're more than a conqueror. Know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Know that no carnal weapon formed against you shall prosper. Know that we have victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who causes us to triumph. Know that no matter what happens against us, that if God be for us, who? I just want to meet the guy. If God is on your side, tell me who can now come in and defeat you if God. Notre Dame needs a new coach. If God, some of y'all just don't watch college football. It's all right. Some of this, what? They're trying to find a coach who will win. They went out and got them a winning coach. But that don't buy, you can't buy victory. We're going to fire this guy and give him $8 million to get out of our life. And let's go over and we go buy some wins. Can't buy victory, but you can experience it if you trust Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Just bow your heads and think about your life, your life. And I got a question for you. Have you lived it on your terms? And are you happy with that choice?